Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Friday, May 14th. Your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that just has to say, the Phantoms have such terrible luck. We're going to get into an injury from last night's game, but man, I felt so bad for Tyson Forrester.
I know. What a terrible way to end the season.
So to keep up to date on all of the Flyers, Phantoms news, and our episodes, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. And if you don't have Twitter, you can always keep up to date or shoot us an email at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. We are your hosts. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Rachel.
And today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, so on today's episode, we are going to touch on, again, like I said, that injury from the Phantoms game. We're going to talk about some articles that came out yesterday that was really concerning about an NHL and college coach. And then we'll get into the last of our playoff bandwagons, and we'll preview the Jets. And of course, we'll wrap up with our gritty thing of the week, which is jam-packed. Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you are currently listening. So make sure you subscribe to get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, so Tyson Forrester, he got hit in last night's game. So it's a separated collarbone from the hit that he took. He went right into the boards. Luckily, it seems like he doesn't need surgery and he's just going to start rehabbing. And Brent Flair said that he should be fine for next year, but so sad for him. Tyson Forrester was on fire. And Rachel, you watched the game and you were telling me before we recorded, it was pretty brutal to hear it.
It was, I was saying, because they played the game at the Prudential Center in the main Devils rink as opposed to the practice rink where they've been playing their games all season long. And because there were no fans in there, the echo was just so massive of him crashing into the boards that it just, it was a very distressing sound.
Yeah, so we have the Tony tweeted out the play, and so we have a little gif of it. So if you don't want to hear the sound, we have it there for you that without it. But hopefully Forrester has a speedy recovery. Again, he was just doing so well, and that's such a horrible way to end the season. All right, so the next thing we're going to talk about is not great, so I definitely want to put out a trigger warning for sexual assault. We're not going to go into detail, but completely understand if you're listening and you want to skip past this, definitely advise so if it is triggering. It came out on Wednesday from David Kinney and Tony Arnold that former Chicago Blackhawk sues the NHL team over the 2010 allegations that he was harassed and sexually assaulted by an ex-coach and the team did nothing. Now, we'll have both the articles that we're going to talk about linked, but the article went on to say that this entire situation destroyed this former Blackhawk's life. The lawsuit that was filed last week in Cook County, the circuit court, was brought by a player identified as John Doe and accuses the team of ignoring his claims against the assistant coach, who went on to be convicted of a sex crime involving a student in Michigan and is now a registered sex offender in that state. Now, if you've been keeping up, this isn't the first time that articles like this have been coming out of Chicago and talking about that ex-coach that coached the Blackhawks. And so it seems like the deeper they go into this, they research into this, and more players and ex-players feel more comfortable speaking out. It's just like the more you hear about it, and this ex-coach has assaulted many, many players, and that's just, it's awful. So Katie Strang, who writes for The Athletic, always comes out with such really good articles. Unfortunately, a lot of them pertaining to sexual assault because she follows and researches these sexual assault allegations. And so in this article that we're going to talk about, it's former hockey players to sue USA Hockey, University of Minnesota, and AHAI over allegations of sexual abuse. And so this lawsuit that is discussed in this article talks about the governing body's failure to protect players from the sexual abuse, as players say that the concerns were rampant and people in positions of power and authority were made aware. So I think it's really important to have both of these articles connected together, because they do connect to each other, and they are talking about a specific ex-coach. But it just shows that at each level, like, the negligence to protect the players is just rampant. And I mean, these articles aren't pleasant to talk about, but I think it's really important to discuss, because as much as, you know, we like watching hockey, the NHL, junior hockey, college hockey, it's important to be aware how the owners and coaches fail to protect the players, and how that failure allows predators to continue to hurt these players. And, you know, if anything, for me, it's not surprising that these organizations aren't protecting the players. But when these articles come out, it's so important to highlight them and talk about them, even though it's hard to talk about.
In both these cases, you seem to have institutions protecting the abusers. And I think that it's just so unfortunate, because especially in the case of the Blackhawks coach, who was like a video coach, kind of more behind the scenes, but nonetheless still present in the lives of these players on a very regular basis, they report the situation to what they think is a good authority, who then sweeps it under the rug and nothing happens. And then these players are forced to deal with the, you know, repercussions of that, both for their own personal experiences and what that trauma does to them, as well as feeling guilty because other people are then affected by the actions of these coaches later on. And that both of those are absolutely unfair. And I can see how it might, you know, take a toll on somebody and prevent them from playing at their best and thus potentially lose their careers.
You're absolutely right. And it's forcing players in unfair positions. And for me, this is an organization, these are people in power that should be protecting the players, and they wind up doing the opposite. And it's good to know that it seems like it's at every single level, but that just makes it even worse, because it's ingrained deep in, like, just the hierarchy of hockey and the culture of it.
We've seen this happen time and time again with other issues, not just sexual assault or, you know, we've seen it with domestic violence cases where players have been allowed back into the league who have, you know, beaten spouses or partners. We have seen it with dealing with racism, where people at high levels of USA Hockey who have been shown to be unapologetic or not adequately apologetic or remorseful about racism that they have, you know, put on players in the past, and they're allowed to continue to be a part of these institutions. So it's hard to know who you can trust or who will actually help in these circumstances.
You're absolutely right. And it's hard to even know, like you said, who can help. But then also, you know, I have a nephew and I would love him to play hockey. But, you know, putting a kid in that environment where, like you said, there's sexual assault, sexual abuse, racism, domestic abuse, hazing. It's not a great environment. And it's scary to think about. It's truly scary to think about, because you're putting these kids in an unsafe environment. And I don't know how anyone could happily do that. Whether it's the NHL, USA Hockey, college hockey, they're all failing these kids. And that's the worst part. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL.
No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest, and best of all, it's automatic.
To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL and get started today. All right. So like we previewed, we are joined by Harrison, host of Locked On Jets. Harrison, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
We are excited to jump into the Jets. Unfortunately, the Flyers aren't in the playoffs, so we're looking for a team to try to bandwagon. And we thought the Jets were definitely a possible team. So for a lot of us and, you know, in Flyers land, we haven't really watched any games outside of the Eastern Division. So give us a summary on the Jets this season. Any narratives, storylines, all that.
Oh, boy. So to be honest, if you asked me which team between like the Flyers and the Jets this year would be better, if you took away the goaltending factor, I'm not sure I could say the Flyers are actually worse than the Jets. I think the Jets might actually be one of the weaker playoff teams this year. It's been a weird season where the Jets record looks okay before like their last streak of like 9 of 11 games they've lost. But prior to that, I think Hellebuck was doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Offensively, the Jets are all right, but I think the past couple of seasons we've seen this team at times play like a lottery team. And certainly the defense has been a major point of contention for both Jets fans, the coaching staff, and management. So Winnipeg's kind of in a weird limbo state of being okay, but not that good. And I think that that's reflecting itself in the recent struggles, and certainly the fact that they are now limping into the playoffs, definitely in like third place in the division.
There has been a little bit of a rocky road for the Jets this season, but, you know, looking at the other teams in the division, just feel like as Flyers fans, we want to root for somebody that's a little scrappy. And so I think the Jets fit that bill for us. But a lot of what playoff fandom goes for is a really good personality and good story. So who are the players on the Jets, other than Hellebuck, that you've talked about that Flyers fans would want to watch out for?
So, you know, for the Jets, I think we actually have, in my opinion, very biased. People can feel free to disagree with me, but I think the Jets have a pretty likable team. So for one thing, I definitely like our captain, Blake Wheeler. He's a super nice guy. Even though his play on the ice has definitely declined over the years, he's certainly a very outspoken leader. Everyone is a big fan of his. But if you want like a scrappy player who really fights every single shift and people just genuinely love, I have to say Neil Pionk probably for me is one of the guys that I would take a bullet for. This guy is an amazing every single shift. And while he probably tops out as like a really high-end second pairing defender with occasional like fringe first pairing upside, there are very few players that I've watched, you know, who just seem to give everything on every single shift. Sometimes Pionk gets himself into trouble, but like if you want to root for somebody who has like an incredible work ethic and, to be honest, probably deserves at some point in the future like a letter on his shoulder, you know, Neil Pionk might fit that bill.
That's a really interesting one you brought up. I definitely would agree with Blake Wheeler, but I never really thought about Neil Pionk, so I'm going to have to keep an eye out on him for sure. I haven't been paying too much attention to the North Division, but it seems like you guys are going to face the Oilers, which Rachel and I are hard no Oilers. So we are definitely giving all our support to you in that. But how do you think this team stacks up against the Oilers?
It's weird. You know, you look at the Oilers roster and it's basically like McDavid and the rest. And like, you wouldn't normally imagine that formula kind of works, but for Edmonton this year, they're playing a much weaker division than someone like Colorado and Vegas have to deal with. So it's worked pretty well. And the Jets, for some reason, even though under the surface, some of these games are a little bit closer, Edmonton just has a really annoying way of being able to sort of scare the Jets and hem them in constantly. And it's like, they have this guy named Gaten Haas on their second line at times as their number two center, which is very confusing. I know that this guy exists, but like, I've never really followed his career. And like, I look down the depth chart and it's like, I don't know, half of the Bakersfield Condors. And I'm like, I don't understand how the Jets have, I think they've lost something like 7 of 9 games against this team. And like, you know, at even strength, the Oilers aren't really creating all that much. Their power play is not great when McDavid is off the ice. It's basically McDavid or bust with this team. So if the Jets can finally figure out a way to not be scared against Edmonton's depth players, I think it's going to be a close series. But I don't know. It's a weird one because the Jets really should be able to take on the Oilers without a whole lot of trouble. But reality's been a little bit different this year.
Yeah, and Oilers goaltending is a little suspect, I would say.
Yeah, Mike Smith is probably not the person that I would be trusting in a 7-game series. And, you know, Mikko Koskinen, yeah. You're facing Connor Hellebuck, so even Brossoit is pretty decent. I don't know that they really have much goaltending depth, but I don't know. The Jets actually have to put some shots on goal first, so maybe they actually went out.
If you had to give like a 30-second elevator pitch as to why Flyers fans should join your bandwagon, what would that be?
Philadelphia fans, if you haven't quite gotten enough torture from the Flyers, welcome to Winnipeg Jets hockey, which is very scrappy. At times, it can be breathtaking. A few years ago in 2017, 2018, one of the most exciting teams that I've ever gotten to watch, and that's from any NHL team. You'll get flashes of that. You'll get some great goal scoring. You'll get tons of entertainment at both ends of the ice, maybe a few heart attacks, but maybe we somehow survive and just sort of troll our way to a Stanley Cup. So if you're on board for that kind of hockey, join the Jets bandwagon.
That's a really good sell. I mean, I feel like there are some Flyers fans out there that just haven't been beaten down enough this season. So why not root for a team that could beat you down just a little bit more? But I completely agree with you. In the 2017 playoffs, they were so fun to watch. The arena just looks so fun to watch. I have a soft spot in my heart for the Jets, so I'm really rooting for you guys in this series.
We appreciate any and all the support because we are probably going to need it against the Oilers.
Oh, man. Well, Harrison, thank you so much. This has been great. And I feel like we've given our fans some good opportunity to check out the Jets. I mean, if for nothing else, to see you guys try to shut down McDavid, and that's always a tough feat. So good luck to you guys, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Really appreciate being able to join you folks for a wonderful time.
You know, Rachel, after talking over about the Winnipeg Jets, they are going to definitely be an interesting team that could definitely give you or give us a little bit of anxiety. So I am going to make sure that when I watch their games, I have my Built Bars ready. Built Bars are great because they're a soft protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar, and they're always perfect for any occasion. They have so many different flavors, anything you're looking for, whether that's caramel brownie, cookies and cream, or apple almond crisp, which is just great all year round. And, you know, I don't feel guilty because they're really good for you.
Yeah, the best part about that apple almond crisp bar is that it's healthy. Built Bar is great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in that delicious treat. I don't know how they do it, but they manage to be an amazing combination of being low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. And if you're on the keto diet, this will fit right in.
Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. Well, Rachel, the Flyers aren't going to be in the playoffs, but we have been previewing teams that will be. So now is the perfect time to think about which team you're going to root for and which bets you're going to make. And the perfect place to go is to our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action.
There are so many sports to choose from, too. There's the NBA, baseball, golf, soccer, So many sports are happening right now, and BetOnline even covers things like awards, TV shows, and reality TV, which is great news if you love reality competition shows like I do. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine.
BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today with the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Well, Rachel, perfect timing with all of our preview into the playoff crossovers, because the NHL just released some playoff dates. So on a Friday, we're ready for the weekend to see who we're going to be rooting for.
Yes, let's get ready to watch those Panthers, Wild, and Jets.
I'm excited. So, of course, one of the highlights of our Friday shows is talking about Gritty, and Gritty was super busy. If you don't remember, on May 6th, Gritty tweeted out a long thread of, "Now is your chance. Gritty wants to make fans' dreams come true." Honestly, I know there were some suggestions that Gritty didn't do, but I feel like Gritty did a lot. Let's jump into all the stuff that Gritty was able to do. One person wanted Gritty to launch a rocket into space. So during the last home game, that's exactly what Gritty did. There's a video, and Gritty tweeted the video out and said, "When we go into Mars," and tagged Elon Musk. Like, Gritty jumped on one of those like rocket launcher things that kids have, which I thought was a fun take on that request.
Yeah. And I might add that for all of these, Gritty had costume changes.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So for that one, Gritty was wearing like a spacesuit.
Amazing. The next person said, "I want Gritty to steal the Declaration of Independence." So Gritty tweeted out a picture with the Declaration of Independence. Like, seemed pretty easy, honestly. Gritty didn't seem to have that hard of a time. Tweeted out with the picture, "Nicolas Cage made it look so easy. What a snub." And then Gritty added the Academy. Next, someone said, "I want to see Gritty race a zebra." That's, of course, what happened. Someone dressed up in a zebra suit and Gritty raced them. And it's pretty close, but I think Gritty won.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Then someone said, "Want to be the flower girl at my wedding?" And Gritty quote tweeted it with a video of Gritty in... Is that the Betsy Ross costume that Gritty's in? It's a dress. And Gritty's throwing out rose petals and said,
"I'm pretty sure that's what it is. You know, got to reuse what you got in the closet, right?"
Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, they paid for that dress. Gritty's going to wear that dress a lot. I get it.
Yeah.
Next, drive around the stadium on a mini dirt bike. And Gritty said, "I'll do one better." And Gritty drove around the stadium on a motorcycle with the leather jacket and all.
Yeah, and again, reusing that Grease costume from the summer.
I mean, they're finding ways to keep these the costume changes interesting, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
One person said, "Host a mascot office chair jousting tournament." And so couldn't get another mascot, but of course Gritty had security there. So the security jousted Gritty on an office chair, and Gritty fell over. It was pretty funny. Tweeted out, "This idea was bad," which probably is because Gritty fell down.
Yeah.
The next one was ride a horse. And thankfully, no horses were harmed in this making of this video. It was one of those, like, you know, those child horse sticks with the horse head and it's like a stick. Gritty rode that and said, "Gritty up," with the little cowboy hat emoji.
I feel bad for that couch, I gotta say, that Gritty was jumping up and down on. I'm like, is that gonna survive?
Yeah, that's true. Then the next person said, "Dear Gritty, pet a dog. Thanks." And Gritty said, "We all deserve this." And it's a video of Gritty petting a dog on that same couch. and the dog is a good sport because it doesn't look too terrified. So then next was do an 80s workout. And Gritty, with another costume change, said, "You don't get a body like this without putting in the work." And Gritty's doing a 80s workout dance. And with the weights and everything. Yep. I love it.
Doing his best Jane Fonda.
Yes. And doing it pretty well, I might say. Oh, this one was a good one. Someone tweeted, call my crush and tell her I screwed up and I really like her. Except you can't talk, so you're just going to make it worse anyway. And Gritty said, well, didn't say it, but wrote it on a poster board. Dear Matt's crush, Matt really likes you. Please give him a chance. I can't vouch for Matt. Personally, I wouldn't trust him. I don't think you should either. I don't know what he did to screw up, but it sounds bad. In all caps. No more second chances. You should get out while you still can. Love, Gritty. And I think that's really good advice.
I think so, too. And clearly, Matt is in the wrong here because, like, there's no way you ask Gritty to do that in that way unless you are the one at fault. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate Gritty making sure that everybody knows that that's the case.
Yeah. Giving real good friend advice. Like, Gritty's someone I think that you could turn to. All right. Next one was Gritty, show some support for the NWHL and women sports. And Gritty said, support women in sports with a poster that says, I heart the NWHL, which went pretty, I would say, pretty viral. Love to see that support.
Yeah, it went over very well. I was excited to see it.
And then this one has to be the best one. And now someone tweeted, Gritty, I know we've been playing a one-sided game of cat and mouse for almost a year and a half now. The time has come. I want you to throw a sheet cake at me. And Gritty said, you want it? You got it. And this fan came to the Wells Fargo early and said, holding a poster said, I asked for this. And Gritty throws a sheet cake and hits them right in the face.
This person has been asking for this for months. So I think that the fact that, you know, their wishes were able to come true is huge. And I love that. Love it so much. And, you know, we have talked a lot about Gritty's sheet cake prowess over the course of the last year and how accurate the throws are. And this one did not disappoint.
Right in the face. And we literally, I think you brought up last Friday episode that you were like, man, I wish Gritty would throw a sheet cake. And this week we got it. And she got her wish. The fan. I love that her new name is Gritty threw a sheet cake at me. I love that. So there were probably plenty more that I might have missed on this. So we'll link the thread. So if there's any others that you want to see, they will be in the show notes, as well as everyone that we talked here. I have to ask, Rachel, I think I know, but what was your favorite one?
It has to be the sheet cake.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no other option.
If it stopped at the showing support to women in sports, I would have to say Matt and the crush, but the sheet cake takes the top. Like, that has to be the highlight maybe of the season. Like, that's just insane. And the fact that it was a true fan, not someone dressed up as a fan, makes it even funnier and better. And I love that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So guys, tell us which one was your favorite. Gritty did a lot of work, and so we have to appreciate it. So with that, thank you guys so much for listening to today's show. We'll be back again on Monday, of course, with our Nemesis of the Week. And as a reminder, we always want to hear from you. Send us in your questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers or LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Danielle, and you can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam.
Thanks again for listening and have a great weekend. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on all the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.